Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's talk some Talladega. More Talladega Cup Series. This podcast is going to serve as a PSA, a public service announcement. But before we get to that, remember, RaceForThePrize.com. That's where you can get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet. Tons of data from the Super Speedways, plate races, everything that you could possibly imagine or need, although you may not need that much. Maybe this is a weekend where you just wait for the little red dots to populate at DraftKings. But if you really like DFS NASCAR, want to get into it, then the sheet's going to save you time. It's going to make it incredibly easy. Have fun. This is a weekend to have fun and enjoy yourself. Spreadsheet will help. So come on over, join us. A lot of you guys are joining. It's great. It's awesome. Love to have you. So the PSA that I want to say is that, first of all, why are you doing another Talladega podcast? You pretty much covered it all in a single one, and there's really not much to say. We've done something around like 40, 50 of these, and it doesn't really change over the years. It doesn't. The Super Speedway podcast is always the same, and from the content provider perspective, you run out of things to say. And when you run out of things to say, some people make stuff up. Some people say stupid things. Some people give bad advice. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to do the PSA approach. And I'm going to remind you, you're going to hear crazy things because content has to be made. And the same things are said over and over and over. So you hear new ideas. Be careful with that. And even from a personal perspective, you've done this plenty of times. You've built at super speedways before. Maybe with your idle hands, the devil's playground, you're going to try to do something different. Don't listen to new ideas. Don't do anything different. I will provide the evidence and the proof throughout this podcast to remind you, as boring as it might be, stick to what works. It's cliche. Talladega is cliche, but it's cliche because it is true. And we're going to stick to our guns. We're not going to change horses. Just keep on doing what you've been doing. Filter out the noise. Okay? So here we go. Rule number one, stack in the back. Idle hands are going to say, maybe this time. Don't. Idle podcasters, DFS enthusiast / content provider, whatever, will search for content and say, well, maybe don't. You shall stack in the back. Say it aloud while you're on your treadmill joining this movement. Say it aloud while you're driving in your car. Stack in the back. While your child is in a car seat in the back saying, why are you saying stack in the back? Are you trying to stack something back here with me? Stack in the back. Second rule of thumb. We need around 50 fantasy points to get into this optimal lineup. How do we get there? 30 to 10 to win. If a driver starts 30th, they cruise to 10th place because of attrition, survival, or just make the right moves. They're going to score 50 fantasy points, and they're going to be the guy that you needed. So while you're targeting that stack in the back, general rule of thumb, 30 to 10 to win, 29 to 9, 28 to 8, 27 to 7. Although you can actually reverse that a little bit because their finishing position is going up, so you don't need as many place differential points. But it's just easier to say 29 to 9. 28-8. It's a good general rule of thumb. You don't always need 20 place differential points, but if you don't get 20 place differential points, you just got to make up for that with your finishing position on the other side. But a general rule is 30 to 10 to win. If it's less than that, you need them pushing closer to the front, which sometimes can be a little bit more difficult for the drivers that aren't that great. But again, stack in the back, 30 to 10 to win. And then the last thing that I want to give out to you, and I post this on Twitter, and we will go through the evidence, help you out, because you're going to be rifling through stats, and your mind will wander and say, but what if? I think Talladega can be kind of more tame, and the wrecks aren't as wild as Daytona. We'll get to that evidence. But here is my final tip from you. One, stack in the back. Two, 30 to 10 to win. Three, don't worry about the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. Don't worry about the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. And on your screen, you will see a perfect example. Now, the optimal lineup was the optimal lineup. That is great. Did it take home the 100K? I don't have that data in front of me, but I feel safe to say, probably not. Although there will be tons of entries. I don't feel that the winner built the optimal lineup. They built a very, 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 very to the exponentially 3 millionth power good lineup, but not the optimal lineup. So if you worry about, I got to get the optimal lineup, then you flirt with Ryan Blaney and trying to figure out if Kevin Harvick can do it. That is risky. It's not highly likely given the data that we've had in the past. And you don't really need to do it. What do you mean, race for the prize? It's weird calling myself race for the prize. What do you mean, Pierce? It's weird talking to myself. Well, not for me. I'm pretty used to it at this point. Stack in the back, LaJoy. Ding, ding, ding. Stack in the back, Justin Haley. Ding, ding, ding. These are good super speedway racers, too. 3 of 4 so far. Chandler Smith, stack in the back. 4 of 6 optos. But if you're watching on the screen, you'll say, but Ryan Blaney started 10th, and Kevin Harvick was in the optimal lineup starting 11th. Sorry, that's not you saying it that way. That's someone on the outside saying it that way. I would never disparage one of our loyal team members that way. Some naysayer, some troll that wants to jump in and do math or something. Anyway, so let's say you just missed on Blaney and Harvick, or you weren't that bold, and I will not be that bold. And guess what? I'll just settle for 50 fantasy points from Daniel Suarez. He scored the 7th most fantasy points. He started in the back. Now, well, that's only 5. You need 6. Fine. All right, I'm going to skip over these 3. Well, you're skipping over those 3. Yeah, he scored 50 points. I can get 38 down here with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. starting 35th. That's still pretty close, folks. That's a winning lineup. Was it optimal? No. But if you took 36, 30, 34, 23, 28, and 35, those starting positions all behind 23, I would venture to guess you had a pretty good lineup. You had a pretty good day. Stacking in the back. And if you built multiple lineups, drawing your line in the sand at 23 or whereabouts, then you may have hit on that one. Now, even if you wanted to be a little bit more aggressive, Ryan Preece at 19th wouldn't have been completely off the board. Again, it's always where you want to draw the line in the sand. I've said before, some people will say, I'm just taking 25 back. I'm taking 20 back. But then when you do that, and I think that's a popular theory, all the guys, so we got group A who say, I'm taking 25 back and I'm sticking to it. Then you have group A1 that says, all right, everybody's taking 25 back. I'm going to go 24 back. And then the same situation with group B that says, give me 20 back. Then you got group B2 that tiptoes over the line and says, give me the guy 19th because no one else is going there. So that works. Or even 17th with Todd Gilliland. So stack in the back. Don't try to build that. And we'll look at, that was the fall race from Talladega. We'll look at the 23 spring race. Again, 17th from Kyle Busch. It's where you draw the line. Maybe you missed out. Tough luck. But again, Yaley 38. Jones, 24. You could miss on Blaney with 59 fantasy points. Yeah, Keselowski at 20. That's a safe spot. Gilly, 28. Elliott, 29. So far we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 for sure, stacking the backers. Bush, kind of on the other side. So maybe missed. Probably didn't need to go to Buescher. Because for a fraction of a point less, you get Suarez at 22. Or 1 point less, still finishing with the top 10 DFS score, you got Stenhouse at 33. And then you even got these jokers back here. Dillon in 32, McLeod 37, Alex Bowman in 27. Stack in the back, 30-10 to win. And as always, you didn't even need that from, well, you did, 33-16. So you're kind of on that same pattern. And then as always, you don't need to build the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. Don't get cute. Don't get cute. Don't listen to cute advice. Don't listen to, like, look, I'm already running out of things to say. What are we, 10, 15 minutes into this pod? How do you do an hour-long show? What is going to possibly come up during an hour-long pre-lock show? What could be discussed? First 5 minutes might be useful. The next 55 minutes, you allow a content provider to just wander, and they're going to just have to start thinking of things and making things up. And I would expect a lot of bad advice to come out during that idle moment. And that's no fault to content providers. That's no slam on content providers. I am a content provider, and I find myself in that same situation right now. I could go on here and just wax poetic and discuss more novel ideas and unique strategies and just play around. But instead, I decided, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be boring, and I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to research for a while before I record anything, and I'm going to stick to the script. Although there isn't a script, and I didn't do an outline for this one, usually do, but I had a pretty general idea of those 3 points and then where I'm going to go from there. But as long as I stick to that, then I am not going to harm my audience. First, do no harm. Got to help out the audience. I love you guys. I'm so happy that you've joined me, joined this movement. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Share these videos. Share what I'm doing. Recruit people to this movement as we move. Some of you are moving now. You're on the treadmill listening to this podcast. Obviously, I'm on the treadmill rucking, recording this podcast. It's good. It's fun. It's exciting. Let's get going. Let's do something here. We could be the healthiest DFS community there is. And that can just be, that doesn't have to be completely physical. It can be mentally too. There's a lot of negative DFS content, a lot of negative trolls. We can be the team, the monster squad that is physically and mentally healthy. This guy's going full guru on you. So we're looking at the 22 fall race stack in the back. 19 for Blaney. Yeah, you wouldn't even really second guess that given his amazing statistics at Talladega. Getting him at 19th. That one's not stretched by any imagination. Gilly, 34. Elliott, 16. Again, you could make another solid case for that. But even if you didn't want to, you got 33 here. It's a little tougher, but you got a little tougher here rounding out the edges. But then just on the outside of the top 10, you've got Bubba Wallace actually with a top 10 score starting 27th. You got Austin Dillon at 20, Haley 21. May not have completely worked out for you, and we'll break this race down a little bit more, but still, for the most part, I would argue that the winning lineup had 44 drivers starting 19th or back, five, right? The majority of the lineup was from the back. Maybe someone took home the winning day by being really aggressive, but I still believe that the winning lineup in this race, and we'll look at 22 fall Talladega and how it's a little bit different, but even with it being different, we're still seeing these stack in the back 30-10 to win. Because this was not a chaotic race. Very tame. It's 2022. And then 22 spring. Another one that wasn't really that hairy. You got Chastain 19. No, it's not full on punt 30th place. That is fine. Maybe this is a direction you're going in. But again, this isn't really anything new. When we highlight, I know when we say stack in the back, your mind immediately goes to, I'm playing the guys in the 30s. And while that works, tends to work a little bit more Daytona. But remember our heating chart here, the Goldilocks zone where the porridge is just right. The reality in this series is that, yeah, these 30 car bumps can work. Those are in more chaotic races. Those races tend to be Daytona Summer or the Daytona 500. But for the most part, when we look at all super speedways, it's the 20 range, and it's tiptoeing up towards 19. That's what we see in the Cup Series. Remember that. Don't forget that. So when we say stack in the back, we're not completely saying I'm just taking 30 through 36. You can apply that principle more firmly at Daytona. You need to dial that back a little bit at Talladega and say stack in the back really implies that I'm playing the back half of the field, 20 through 40. And I definitely soften up more towards these drivers. I lighten up. I am a little bit more aggressive in going after them. I open my mind to them. Whereas at Daytona, I may not be as friendly or as considerate to these drivers from 19th to 23rd at Talladega, as we have seen over the last couple seasons and even into the past. That is what stacking the back means, if we are trying to be crystal clear. So we go back to that Talladega race in the fall of 2022. And again, the optimal lineup, which you don't need to worry about, you just need the winning lineup. Back. 19th for Blaney, that's back. Gilliland, 34th, that's back. Elliott doesn't qualify, that's fine. Landon Castle, 33rd, that's the back. And that's four so far. And this is a race that doesn't have a lot of wrecks and attrition, and Landon Castle still pulls it off, which gives you an idea of what can happen even without chaos. So I'll go over that and show you here in a second exactly how he pulls that off. Would have been tough to get to these drivers. But you go to Bubba Wallace, so now I've got five drivers inside the top 10, starting 19th or worse. My sixth guy would be Austin Dillon at 20th, or Justin Haley at 21. So the top 13 drivers at Talladega, if you were able to avoid the problems and to get six of the top 13 DFS scores, and you really just held to the stack in the back principle to lower your player pool, then you were likely right there at the end. May have worked out for you, may not have. But again, I don't see any evidence here that suggests that stacking the back doesn't work. If you want to make an argument, again, idle hands, be careful, you're going to move your line a little bit closer to the front and go to maybe a 17. But even that, I don't really encourage. You have idle hands, you've got time, you're going to come up with crazy theories. That's not the craziest, that's not the most insane. That is okay. You're going to have these thoughts come into your mind. You want to squeeze it forward? That seems fine to me. I will not be partaking. And then we'll look at 22 Spring. Back, back, back. Oh no, we've got three up front. Don't worry about the opto. They scored 55 from Austin Dillon starting close to the front. 55 from Kyle Busch starting closer to the front. 54 from Eric Jones starting closer to the front. So those were 14, 12, and 16 if you're listening to the audio version on all the platforms. But at 53, a point less, point fewer than Eric Jones, 21, stacking the back. So far we've went through the top seven scores, four of seven or 19th or worse in starting position. Oh, here we go, top eight scores, five. Of the top eight scores are starting in the back. 33rd from Corey LaJoy. And then rounding it out, 6 of 9. Was the 6 of 9 optimal? No. Were the 6 of 9 probably the winning lineup? Yes. And they started respectively 19, 28, 27, 21, 33, 24. And even if you didn't get one of those, just outside the top 10, you have Blaney starting 22nd. Jamie Minn. Landon Castle again, starting 39th, Jamie Minn. Eric Amarola, 23. Going a little deeper, Gregson, starting 31. So once again, your public service announcement. Stack in the back, 30 to 10 to win. Don't build the optimal lineup. Just build the winning lineup. Try to build the optimal lineup. Yes, you can flirt with these drivers. But once you do that, the problem is you now have expanded your player pool. So before, you were throwing darts at a smaller target or a bigger target. You were picking from fewer options. You're trying to find the needle in one haystack. It's tough enough to do. We draw the line in the sand at 25, the haystack is smaller. You expand that to 20, you're now searching through a bigger barrel. Bale. I swear I grew up in the South, but not that South. I'm not that Southern. Bale, sorry. I apologize. Got somebody just wrecked his tractor right now. Like, did he just call it a hay barrel as he plows over this? Well, nothing probably right now. There's no plowing going on right now. Just out for a tractor cruise. Anyway, if you expand that to, I'm going to include 15 and back or even closer, your hay bale just got really big. And it's much harder to select those six drivers. You really don't have to do that to yourself. You don't have to subject yourself to that. You can keep your bale at a moderate size, a manageable size, and still build a winning lineup. You go for optimal, the chances of success are much lower. All right, so let's look at the crazy data because we can. And first thing, we'll just look at the previous races in the wrecks. I believe this is last year's race. Pretty tame until it wasn't. That's Talladega. The idea that we're going to have a bunch of wrecks. It's not necessarily the quantity of wrecks. It's the quality of wrecks. And here you can see at the end, in stage three, it's a pretty green race. Green, green, and then boom goes the dynamite. And then we even get a wreck here at the very end that we don't get, that doesn't necessarily show up on the score sheet. So there's that. And we see that play out multiple times at Talladega recently, especially if you're using Racing Reference. There's going to be a big wreck at the end, and you're not necessarily going to see it. All right. You can obviously see a lot of wrecks in stage three, so I don't really need to explain that. So that's going to turn the DFS lineup on its head. We go back to the 2022 race, which is kind of interesting. I'll show that one to you here in a second. Again, big green flag runs. And then we get a shootout at the end. But because of these green flag runs, we don't have a lot of chaos. We don't have a lot of attrition. Single file. And say, single file. That is the arch nemesis of Stack in the Back. Single file lap turning at a super speedway. That's kryptonite. You got to play guys up front. And while it does favor some of the drivers up front, still can build a winning lineup with the Stack in the Back. And there still is movement and gains to be made. Because in that last lap, they're going to go for it. And the accordion gets working. People get sucked forward, sucked back. And there's enough movement that you're going to see a landing castle slide into the optimal lineup. And then if we look at the spring race for 2022, again, a 63 green flag run to the end. Stage three goes completely green in the first next gen Talladega race. Oh no, that's going to kill a Stack in the Back. Well, it's not going to be complete chaos, and we're not going to get the likes of BJ McLeod in the optimal lineup. Still, in that spring race, we had enough. We just talked about it. Chastain at 19, Elliott at 28, Bowman at 27, 21, Mickey D, 33, Corey LeGee, Kevin Harvey at 24, and on the outside, Blaney, 22, Landon Castle, 39. All right. We're going to look at the laps as we wrap this baby up. Thanks for joining me. Love having you guys around. So we'll start with the 22. Do I want to pull them all up? We'll just pull them all up. Make them easy to understand. So I believe this is the 23 fall race. This is. And you can see we get two cautions here at the end. And we get restarts. And even then, it's pretty orderly. And we're running to the finish. And there's really not much going on. And then, so we're expecting wrecks to boost people. An interesting thing you can see on your screen here. Denny Hamlin's in 25th on lap 175. We don't really get any wrecks from the last 10 laps. They're running two lines. They're being, not too aggressive, but either way. And it's just, okay, let's see who's a good super speedway racer. And Hamlin goes from 25th to 4th. There is going to be a mad wreck at the end, but you can clearly see that Hamlin, even without the wrecks, is able to make a bunch of gains. And that really applies to all drivers. You pick the right lane, you make the right move, you can move forward, gain a lot of place differential points and finishing position points just as long as you're in the right spot at the right time and make the right selections. Any of these drivers can do it. Any of these cars can do it. And it doesn't necessarily require chaos and wrecks. And I say that because we often look at Talladega and say, well, this is a little bit more reserved of a race. It's a little bit more tame of a race. I didn't see a bunch of wrecks. And maybe I can eliminate some of these drivers because I don't see attrition and chaos happening. They're just going to turn laps. And I just got to play guys towards the front. He is able to do it. Austin Cindric, 28th on lap 175. He gets to 6th place. Ryan Preece, 22nd on lap 175. He finishes inside the top 9. And that is out without chaos. He's made most of his gains already. So that's the positive of that. Hey, you want to get negative? If you are an Alex Bowman fan, and I don't know if there's one on this planet, but if you are, well, I mean, obviously the Larson fans were probably not happy. We wreck a bunch of cars at the end. He wasn't going to win, but did hurt his finish a little bit. That's why you got that blue box there. You got a big wreck at the end. We've seen that a couple times. Again, that won't show up on Racing Reference. But once we get through the tri-oval, it gets pretty hairy. But, you know, cautions obviously didn't help Eric Almirola. But the guy really hurt. Alex Bowman was leading this race. He was leading the two lines. He was in control of this race on lap 179. And then they split him. He's out front, you know, trying to block both lines. They dip below him, they dip above him, and then just he gets sucked down the chute like a pneumatic tube going into the bank. And then he struggles, tries to form an outside line, and ends up finishing the last car on the lead lap. So just as Denny Hamlin and Austin Cindric can make gains without wrecking, Alex Bowman, no real wreck, although technically, yeah, he probably did get caught up in the wreck here to get 29th, but he still was already back to 20th. Just shoots backwards. And then that's that. And that can happen. So movement can happen without wrecks. Lines form, different things unfold. And even in the 22 spring race, where really they're running super single file, I'm going to skip to that one. Actually, no, we'll look at the 22 fall first, just to give you an idea. We get a caution at the end, but so far at the end, we don't get a big restart gain. But we do see drivers who are able to make gains before that. Chase Briscoe was in 18th with almost 10 laps left. He ends up getting a top 10. Castle was in 23rd on lap 176. He just works his way forward, has a decent restart. Wynn Byron. So you don't always need wrecks and chaos to get forward. And those guys can score some points. And then we'll look at the 22 spring race. This is the one that went green all the way to the end. And this is my final point, right? 63 green flag laps to the end. Oh, there's not going to be chaos. Oh, I got to start guys towards the front. How are they ever going to get forward? Well, we'll just look. I want chaos. We're probably going to see a lot of green flag laughs and excitement at the end, so sit around and pop open some beverages and just enjoy your Sunday. The beauty of having green flag laps at Talladega is that your lineup is alive all day, and you get to enjoy 170, 180 laps. And then maybe it doesn't work out for you then, but green is actually kind of clean. It's kind of fun. You want to have a rooting interest, really just chill out on your Sunday at Talladega, then that's what you really want. And it could still work. Oh, but I need a wreck to get this stack in the back to work. I need wrecks and chaos to get movement. Look, Austin Dillon finishes the race in second. He was in 14th with three laps left. They were running single file forever, but it only took two laps of them really trying to race for this thing to work. Kyle Busch was in 15th. There it is, out there cruising in single file, and you probably back in the spring of 2022 were screaming at your screen. Angry, irritated. But then within a lap, 2 minutes, there's some movement. Michael McDowell was in 18th. He gets into the top 10. Bowman laps earlier was in 16th. You can see that movement can be made with chaos, without chaos and craziness. And again, we're not asking for everyone to go forward and everyone to go back. We're really only talking about a handful of drivers that matter. Six drivers in a lineup. You don't need absolute Armageddon. You don't need any wrecks. You just need your guy to line up in the right spot sometimes. Sure, like A, one scenario is they survive all the wrecks. B, the other scenario for your drivers to be successful is they make the right moves. And sometimes making the right move is not even really a skill thing. It's just being in the right spot at the right time or someone else making the wrong move. And your line just going forward, and then you slide out at the right time, or someone slides out at the wrong time, and then they go backwards. So you don't always need anything crazy to happen either, as we can see on the screen. And so since all the things are possible, then anyone can move forward, So anyone in the back is alive. So then we go back to where we began with our public service announcement. Irrespective of Rex, anyone can move forward. That means you stack in the back. Rule number one, stack in the back. Don't talk about Fight Club, but talk about Race for the Prizes team. Rule number two. What's rule number two? I'm stalling because my brain just froze for a second. It's 30 to 10 to win, 29 to 9, 28 to 8, 27 to 7. Although technically it should be like 27 to 9, but that's harder to say. The general rule of thumb is if you get around 20 place differential points, but you can lower that number as you increase your finishing position number. But you get it. And then number three, stop worrying about the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. You try to build that optimal lineup, you can get too cute. You start putting makeup on, staring at yourself in the mirror. Then you start crying. And then you smear the red lipstick up your cheek. And you say to yourself, why did I try to build the optimal lineup? I just needed the winning lineup. What's wrong with me? There's so many things wrong with me. First of all, why do I listen to a Fantasy NASCAR podcast all the way to its end and then not hit, give a like? What's wrong with me? If I listen to 45 minutes of this guy talk about Talladega when he didn't even need to talk about Talladega, and then I don't even give him a like or subscribe or recruit other people to this madness as you smear on the red lipstick. Don't get too cute. Stay pretty. Stay pretty, my friends. Stay handsome. You don't have to do that much. You look good already. You're pretty close. You're not perfect. A couple improvements here or there. You're not far off. And you're not your best. You don't need to beat your best. You don't need to be optimal. You just need to be a winning lineup. Do a couple little more healthy things. You'll be fine. No one needs you to go back to your prime self. Just get a little bit better. Feel a little bit better. Stop smearing that makeup on. Oh my God, now you're eating the makeup. Oh, it's all over your teeth. All right, you're worse off than I thought. Thanks for joining me, guys. I am truly blessed. Have you listening to the podcast and all these platforms and watching the videos and the likes and subscribes and shares and the recruitment and everything. And I will have some early Dover videos out following the Talladega race. I've already dug into that research. You know me, because there is only so much you can do for Talladega. And having done this for over a decade, the Super Speedway weeks are divided between do the Super Speedway stuff, your stats in, but also start looking ahead, diving into the next race. I've already dove into Dover, the Cup race, the Xfinity race. I'm excited about those races. It should be exciting and fun. If you like green flags, you like real racing, you like some long runs, you like picking drivers who have success at certain tracks, you're going to have some fun next week. So I'm already into that. Again, thanks for being here. Love you guys. Trip the light fantastic.